Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's April 23rd, 2021. You're listening to the best PokerCast on the interwebs. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
Trying something new today. We're both going, we're getting untethered, right? We're not using headphones or nothing. We're just using our computer mics. Oh man, I hope it, because I'm not redoing the show, so I hope it sounds good enough.
So hey, this wasn't on the show notes, but I was thinking about it on my walk, so we'll just throw it in because, yeah. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had a listener talk about how it's, you know, harder to get tells up in the COVID world, right? Because you got the mask and all that stuff on dividers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then we also talked a couple weeks ago about how we think probably pros are going to do better here in the 6 months coming out of COVID, right? Because they've probably been studying, and even if they haven't been playing, they've been studying, where the amateurs like us have been, making bonsai trees, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
But then I started to think, I wonder if this is an opportunity for people who give off tells and don't realize it, or realize it and can't control it, to actually do a little better. Because I was thinking, like, if you were able to wear a neck gaiter, which not every casino poker room allows you to wear a neck gaiter, right? But that takes care of, like, all those little throbbing things in your neck, right?
I'm glad you said in your neck.
you put sunglasses on, now your eyes are there. You know, you get a hat on, so maybe you don't see the furrow of your brow as much. I mean, you really could be the invisible man at the table now.
Yeah, yeah. So is that true that they don't allow – some places don't allow the gator thingy?
Yeah, yeah. There's some, not all, but some say it has to be an actual real mask that fits around your ears and stuff like that. So, but not all. You know, some just say you have to have a face covering. So,
in the non-COVID world, when it's finally gone, or when we're all comfortable enough to not have to wear a mask, I wonder if some people will continue to wear the mask and use that as the excuse of saying, "I just don't want to catch the common cold anymore. I was so healthy over those 2 years." That now it just makes sense for me. Whenever I'm out in public, I'm wearing a mask, so you can't stop me from wearing the mask. And, oh, by the way, it also covers my tells, you know?
I definitely think in society in general, there will be a lot of people who will continue to wear masks even when they're not required to. So I agree with that. Yeah. But the other interesting I was thinking about is this last Poker TDA summit we had, there was a lot of time spent on that you have to be recognizable at the table. You know, the cameras have to be able to identify who you are. So that scenario that I just gave, you know, full neck gaiter, sunglasses, hat, would not be possible. Right. So,
right.
I mean, obviously, I think they got to suspend that right now because you got to put a mask on. And it also made me think about, you know, people that have been blacklisted. I mean, are they able to get away with getting into a casino now because they might not be able to see who they are? By following the rules.
Exactly. All right. The blackjack team, MIT, card counters, they can now, you know, go in and be like, "Hey, I'm not that person. I got a mask on." They're not going to know. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably going to be an interesting discussion going forward. So, I mean, maybe it comes down to, hey, if you want to wear a neck gaiter, you can't wear sunglasses. You get to pick one, or you can't do both, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out as well, too. But I would think if.
Do you think you're recognizable? Like, if you could wear the mask but not sunglasses, do you think you're recognizable with just the eyes, especially if you wear the mask high enough, or do you think that's going to be enough? And that's going to be an interesting dilemma, I think, when people are going to want to insist on wearing masks. And yeah, then they're going to be
Here's the thing. Casinos have been open for, and most have been open for 9-10 months, right? So they're already dealing with that. So now whether they are enjoying dealing with that, I don't know. I don't know if it's a huge problem and we just haven't heard about it. That could be a possibility as well too. But I would think they're figuring out that, and they gotta, I think you have to accept the fact that what we just said, that people are going to continue to wear masks forever now. So
right.
It's not going to be 100%, but you know, it may be 20-25%. I don't know. Right.
Right.
And I don't think you can like ban people from wearing masks after the biggest pandemic in the history of the world, right? So yeah, I would imagine this is a tough time for casino security, but I imagine they're pretty resilient. So
yeah, interesting. We'll have to pay attention to it moving forward.
All right, the World Series of Poker has announced the schedule for this summer's online WSOP, which will run from July 1st to August 1st with 33 events with buy-ins of $333 to $7,777. Looks like I'm betting on online right there. The second weekend is Micro Madness with 4 events for less than $500. And the third week will be PLO week with 3 PLO events. And the final week will be called Championship Week, ending with the $500 grand finale with a $1 million guarantee, largest in WSOP.com history.
I know we always do this, but I feel like we're talking about this every week.
Am I wrong? As we always said, they're very good at dripping and drabbing news. So,
I know, it's like we seem to, I don't know if it's desperation to fill the show in these slow days or what, but yeah, they really take advantage of us. I mean, you know, they intentionally announce the dates, then they announce the events, and then they announce the buy-ins, and then they, you know, and they do it all the time, and we fall for it every single year, every year.
Well, I would not go as far as saying desperation. I mean, the World Series is something of great interest to the vast majority of poker players, and I would imagine our listeners. So, I mean, it's not like we are giving the dribs and drabs. You know, we announce the dates, then we announce the details, and then we announce winners, right? So, but they are very good at it. So, it is. I'm really hoping for the day that we get past just Nevada and New Jersey for this, which is still the case for this year's. I mean, it would be really nice to start adding, you know, some of these other states to it, so more people can feel like they're playing. So, but yeah, so yeah, I did not mention that, but yes, you do need to be physically in either New Jersey or Nevada to participate in these events. But you know, hey, chance to win a couple bracelets for a $333 buy-in. That's pretty cool, I think. So
I wonder how many people are like using their friends to like go across the border and play in Jersey, like if you live in New York or something, or going across the border to Nevada if you live in California or something, that just say, hey, can I come to your house? And, you know, or can I just use your Wi-Fi? I'll stay in your garage or, you know, whatever it is, just because I want to play these things. It's got to be happening a lot, I would think.
Sure, especially depending on where you live. So, I mean, like, you know, I was talking to a friend in Sacramento this week, and, you know, that's an hour and a half drive over to the border. So, I mean, not a big deal for those folks. And even, you know, 2.5 hours from the Bay Area, so... you know, as long as you have some place to stay, and really, I mean, remember, you can stay at hotels too.
Right.
Basically, in the state, so
right.
There are a lot of opportunities if it's a close drive too. So, all right, the WSOP telecasts are moving from ESPN to the CBS Sports Network. CBS will broadcast 15 hours of the main event and 36 hours from 18 other bracelet events. CBS is no stranger to the WSOP, having worked with Poker Go on some recent programming. And, of course, was the first network to broadcast the WSOP way back in the 1970s when you and I were born.
And, of course, in a roundabout way, the CBS Sports Network is also responsible for our Apes series.
Do you remember that? Really? Remind me of this.
Because they had the Intercontinental Poker series that time, and then we made fun of it. So that's why we named ours the Anti-Up Intercontinental Poker Series. So, yeah, so they're sort of responsible for us even starting that whole thing. This was – I thought this was, like, the biggest story of the week. I mean, to me, that's huge. I mean, of course, they were back in the day when they would show this sort of special sports programming thing on a dead Saturday or something, but ESPN has been synonymous with the World Series for, you know, almost two decades. So now this is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bigger deal depending on your streaming, cable, satellite, whatever way you get to.
Because I don't get it. I don't get the CBS Sports Network.
So, yeah. So you're frozen out. Yeah.
I'm frozen out.
Almost everybody, no matter what your package is, gets ESPN. So that is a downside to it. We'll see what happens with it. I hope they do. I know this is CBS, not ABC. But wouldn't it be cool if they like open it with like a Wide World Sports agony of a defeat kind of thing, right? With some guy getting sucked out of a two-outer.
Yeah.
Melting down, right?
That'd be hilarious. They need to bring back Welcome Back Cotter guy, Gabe Kaplan.
Yeah, Kaplan, yep.
Right? Because he used to do the ones for CBS back in the 70s. So that'd be pretty good.
And I wonder if they're going to bring back some of those old broadcasts. Maybe they are already on, like, Poker Go and some of these other folks. I haven't heard that. But I think I'd like to go back and watch, like, the Stu Unger final table, right?
Yeah.
On Fremont Street where, you know, his nose is melting because he's pulled together about toothpicks from Coke. And, right? I mean, that might be interesting to go back and watch that now. So, I mean, I'm sure all that stuff on YouTube, too.
Yeah, it was outside. Remember the last one? It was outside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so right. Yeah, melting.
So. Yeah, melting. Yeah. That's funny.
Cards flying everywhere. Yep. So
they had the plastic shield. Remember, they had the plastic shield.
Yeah, to hold it down.
Yeah, to hold the cards down for the flop and stuff. That's hilarious.
Now, I also wonder. I mean, here's the bigger thing. This was not mentioned in the article, but the broadcast team.
Somebody on.
So I think that Lon McCarron and Norman Chad are tied to the World Series. I think they're tied to ESPN. So. You know, whether what kind of that relationship is, whether they're able to move to CBS Sports Network or whether we're going to get two new commentators. Because, you know, I'm at the age where I don't like change anymore, right?
Right.
49, don't mess anything up. So, you know, put two other people out there. I know Lon and Norman. That's what I want. So,
well, if I had to venture a guess, and this is merely a guess, I'm not one of those know-it-alls, but I would say that they are not actually tied to ESPN because they are tied to the company that produces it and then puts it on ESPN.
Very true.
As long as that company is doing it again or whatever, I'm sure that they're free agents and can do it. There was somebody on our Facebook group on Antioch Fans saying that, you know, hey, as long as Lon and, you know, as long as Norman, you know, as long as they're there, I'll watch it no matter where it is, you know? So, I mean, that's a huge get. If they don't get them, you know, they're going to probably lose viewers, I would think. But I don't think they're tied to ESPN. I think they're tied to
you're probably right. It's probably one of the production company. Yeah. And, of course, it depends on, you know, if it's not them, who the new hosts are, because, you know, you might attract a whole new generation with some of these Twitchers that, you know, that you and I don't have any idea who they are, but, you know, the people that are really watching poker programming now know, so... I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this all works.
Yeah, I mean, they might bring out a Doug Polk or a Antonius Fondiari if he, you know, craps the bed and doesn't go far or whatever. But, you know, it has to be Lon and Norman. If it's not, I think that they're going to suffer for that.
All right, the World Poker Tour is partnering with blockchain company Theta Labs to offer some top WPT video moments as NFTs. Pricing and videos will be announced in the future. We are falling so behind on this, Chris.
I know. I don't understand why we haven't
cast out there, make bank, and then get out of here. So I still don't understand these non-fungible tokens. I've read the articles, so I don't need to be able to write B and explain it. I understand the concept. I don't understand buying it.
I don't either. And it was like I remember there was somebody talking about if I was the one that bought that picture for $69 million or whatever it is. Yeah. They basically said, that's the only picture I would ever show anybody ever for the rest of my life. Because you better get your money's worth somehow.
It'd be my home screen on my phone, right? I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, you know, I own this, right?
I'd petition to make it like my driver's license photo. Do whatever I can to get that thing worked in.
This photo's mine. Like that Seinfeld in Tuskegee. Like, there's no more homes in Tuskegee. Oh man! Well, I can't wait to see what the which clips they offer up, and then I'm going to sit at home and find them on YouTube and watch them for free. And
watch them for free, device. Exactly. Yeah. Now you know you have to think. I mean, I know there's going to be like these certificates of authenticity that they hand out with these crappy, you know, statues and stuff. I mean, there's going to be people wanting to you know do stuff like this, and you know, just absolutely, you know, oh, they're gonna have to hold like the NFT up to the light to see if it's legitimate, you know, if it's counterfeit, you know, or something. I mean, people are going to try to take advantage of that. Oh, I have the only World Poker Tour video of Dan Negreanu calling that person's all in when he had pocket aces, you know, or whatever. It's just crazy.
I mean, really, the real money in this is the next generation Pawn Wars, right? Or Pawn, whatever that show is called.
Yeah.
Where they bring in the experts. So we could be an NFT expert, Chris, where we authenticate the blockchain certificate of authenticity.
Well, you've already admitted that we're falling behind, so I don't know how we're going to be taken seriously as an expert in it now, but we'll give it a shot.
I can just see it as like people coming to our little pawn shop in here in Clearwater and be like, all right, what do you think you have here? I'm like, oh my God, I've got the video poker, the World Poker Tour moment of Mike Sexton. And then we can add it or like one of those little jeweler things, right?
That's right, the loops. We got a loop.
Sorry. This is a YouTube counterfeit. You won't be able to retire.
You can't see the watermark in the lower right-hand corner. It should have a Travel Channel watermark in the lower right-hand corner. This one does not.
Now, as much as we're laughing about this, I know some of our younger listeners are out there like, yeah, all right. Wait until you're laughing 20 years from now when we're all making bank on all this stuff.
I know.
You guys are fighting for stimulus checks so you can eat your cottage cheese. So. Soccer sensation Neymar has told C News in an interview that he'll definitely be traveling the world playing poker tournaments when his career on the pitch comes to an end. He says poker and soccer require similar skills, including reading your opponent to know when to attack.
Okay, that's really stretching it. First of all, who's Neymar?
What? You don't know who Neymar is?
No, just because you like soccer now, I don't think this is important. It's not important. I don't know who this guy is. But
biggest soccer players in the world, Chris. Come on.
If you told me Ronaldo or Ronaldinho or Messi played or something, that's one thing, but Neymar? I have no idea who this guy is.
That's the top four right there. So.
I think it's a stretch. You know, soccer and poker have this similar skills. Give me a break. Okay, stock trading, you know, crypto. Okay, I get it. But give me a break. Got to know when to attack it. Give me a break. This is ridiculous.
I'm going to disagree with you here because after I read this article, I went down to my local soccer field and I scored 4 goals yesterday. So.
There's no goalie, no other team, nobody, but yeah.
I had that gator on, sunglasses, and a hat. No one could read me. And scored with reckless abandon, so.
Yeah, like when you're doing the penalty kick, you put the gator on, put the glasses on, put the hat on. They have no idea which way you're going to kick it. I think this is a stretch. I mean, good for him. He's going to play. Maybe he'll bring a whole new audience to poker for us, and I love it. You know, I really don't know who he is.
He's a big tournament, so that's where the question came from was, you know, is he going to focus on this when he retires or if he's going to do some other stuff. So the fact that he seems to think that he's going to be spending a lot more time with it is good for our game worldwide. So even if Chris doesn't know who he is.
I'm happy for him, you know, good for him.
Turn on Pele, right? I hope. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
But I really don't know who he is. Never heard of him. Never even heard that name once.
Oh, man. All right, here's this week's update on poker room reopenings. And Indiana Horseshoe Hammond has reopened its poker room. We now have 229 reopened poker rooms in the United States. And remember to go to antiupmagazine.com/reopen and email us at editor@antiupmagazine.com to let us know what we forgot or to make yourself look like an idiot by saying, you forgot this, and then I'm like, no, it's there.
Does that happen often? I bet you it does.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but I'm always nice to those folks. I'm like, maybe I'm misreading the email, maybe I'm not understanding. There was one where somebody told me that, and I'm like, uh-huh, we got it right there. He's like, no, that's the wrong one. Oh, you're right. So it does work. So.
I remember that, yeah.
It does happen. So so the Horseshoe Hammond is interesting. When they opened, they didn't really release a lot of details. But more has come out. So they're only open from Monday through Friday because they're set up in an event center now rather than the old poker room. And on the weekends, they are doing concerts and things. So, So it's really weird that the biggest poker room in that region shut down for weekends when probably the demand is the highest. But, you know, got to pack people in to see Tom Jones while he's
so bizarre. Any updates? Papes, which also, I guess, is directly responsible from CBS Sports Network. The Antiup Fans free online tournament series on PokerStars Play Money site is available everywhere. Details how to join can be found at bit.ly/PAIPS. Games are on the 6th, 16th, and 26th every month and rotate disciplines with a main tournament followed by a second chance event. PokerStars lets you claim 15,000 free chips every 4 hours. You can join the Antiup Fans group Facebook page and post within the group to get feedback on hands, ask all the four questions, you know, just discuss anything poker. Check out our 11 vintage Antiup logo designs on merchandise at antiupmagazine.com/shop. Buy t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, phone and laptop cases, coffee and drink mugs, and more with your choice of Antiup Magazine, Antiup PokerCast, or Antiup Poker Toro logos. If you have a hand of the week, listener spotlight, or call the floor submission, email us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com or post in the aforementioned Antiup Fans group on Facebook. We have a new O'Malley's move. Here it comes.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week we are playing $1, $2, No Limit Omaha High only at a home game. The action has been stable all night. There are two players new to the game and four who have a decent handle on it. The game is six-handed. The blinds post and we're in the under the gun with 400 up 200. We have the ace of hearts, ace of clubs, jack of hearts, nine of diamonds. This is a great hand. We make the table standard raise to $10. The hijack calls, but the rest of the table folds. The hijack started the hand with pretty much an identical stack to our own. This player knows what he's doing in this game and plays pretty well. He's also up 200 on the night. With roughly $20 in the pot, the flop is the queen of hearts, 10 of clubs, 8 of clubs. We flop the nuts here, and we have the ace of clubs to block the nut flush. We make a pot-sized bet, leaving us 370 behind. The hijack thinks for a while and calls, also leaving him 370. There's about $60 in the pot, and the turn is the deuce of clubs. I like a bet here. The question is the size. Since we have the ace of clubs, we know our opponent can't have the nuts, and we know that he knows he can't. We make a $30 bet into the pot to appear like we're value betting. Our opponent thinks for quite a while before raising us 2.5x. He makes it $75 to go, leaving him with 295 behind. So, are we still ahead? Can we push him off if we're not? What's the move?
And it's time for AdvancedPokerTrading.com Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations to podcast at AntiupMagazine.com. If you haven't won something from us in the past year, you'll get a free membership to Advanced Poker Training, the world's number one poker training site. And if you've been following along for the last couple of weeks, Jerry Haynes has sent in 10 hands. This is number 4, so we're almost the halfway mark here.
Crazy.
So he has not let us down, and not only has he not let us down, every week he sends us revised notes on the future ones so we don't trip over our own words. And by we, I mean me.
That's smart. We want to get as detailed as possible to help the listeners and to make the three of us not look foolish.
All right. If you remember, we're playing quarter 50 cent no limit hold'em on the pokernow.club site with some friends in the six-handed game. For this particular hand, our hero is down 145, sits at 155 in his stack. The under the gun in this hand is the table chip leader of $250. And it's the same villain from hand number one. If you remember back then, Chris and I are too old to remember back then, but yeah, maybe you guys are.
There's no way.
In that hand, he checked a king high flush on the turn and check raised the river. With that said, I've also caught him bluffing the spots where he can either have the nuts or air. He does like to straddle to build a bigger pot for the flop, but plays it more like a third blind and usually only raises his premium hands. Under the gun, plus one is on the tighter side, but will bluff at a hand if he feels it is an opportune time and everyone has shown weakness. I've also seen him slow play some big hands if someone else is leading the action. The under the gun, plus one, posts a dollar straddle, and there are three callers when he gets to us in the big blind with the eight of diamonds, seven of spades.
Yeah, I mean, these are hands that we just let go. First of all, I got to pay another 50 cents to be out of position for the rest of the hand. Now, granted, one of the player who put on the straddle is tight, so he probably will let you get away with it for that 50 cents. But I don't like the idea of having not even a suited connector. to just baby connectors, you know what I mean, out of position. When you have connectors like this, it's good to be in position so you can sort of get the free cards when the opportunity presents itself, so you can see what everyone else has done and calculate your pot odds and stuff. For me, to be out of position for the whole hand with an unsuited connector that's a baby, I mean, what kind of hand are you looking for? You're looking for top two. You're looking for trips. You're looking for a straight. Those are rare flops to have to put more money in and be out of position. What's going to end up happening is it's going to come eight high or seven high, and then you're going to be in this horrible position of not knowing and then trying to push people out of the pot early because you don't want to get beat on the turn with a 10 or a queen or a jack or something. It's just a horrible, horrible position to put yourself in. When poker pros give lessons, the thing that they always like to impose upon you is, hey, try to make as few decisions that you have to make as possible. Make the decisions easier for yourself. So in this case, I'm happy to pay my 50 cents that I'm supposed to pay, fold and move on. You know, I mean, I don't see any reason to do it. I'm going to be on the button pretty soon and have a whole, you know, three or four hands because it's six-handed to be able to have a better position on these guys. So I'm folding this hand.
All right, I agree with you, other than the fact that obviously these are known players in this hand, in this game, I mean. So if you know your players well and you know how you can outplay them, really you can kind of open up your range anywhere for 50 cents at least. I mean, I wouldn't play this for a bigger raise. And if we feel pretty confident that the straddler isn't going to raise, then I might take a flyer at 50 cents. But otherwise, I'm on Team Chris on this for all those reasons.
And the other thing, too, is that because he's straddled, I'm not sure how they do this, but we still have the under-the-gun player to act. We don't know if we're going to get raised anyway. And then we put in extra money for nothing.
So you have to be reasonably sure that he's not going to raise there. So if he's a straddler that generally doesn't raise his straddles, which is almost as rare as a albino platypus, that's when I might take a flyer for 50 cents. But if he's the type that raises all the time, you're not putting in 50 cents in here. You're putting in another $1.50 at least, right? Probably, if not more. So, that is not a situation I want to be in.
Well, I'm just trying to clarify what I said. So the under the gun plus one is the one who put the straddle on, right?
No, the other gun.
Oh, it was the under the gun. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was the under the gun plus one who put the straddle on. Okay. So yeah.
He gave his notes on under the gun plus one, but it's the under the gun.
Okay.
That's what you got confused.
Yeah. So if we get an idea that this guy's not going to pop it, then maybe you take a flyer and just hope for a really good flop, but you'll end up getting in more trouble with this hand than not. And that's the kind of hand I'm going to fold. So, because you say outplay these people, it's hard to outplay people out of position. It really is. You know?
It is. Yes. Much, much harder. Yep. All right, here says pot odds are too good for me to fold here with just one more player to act and a straddle player who doesn't raise up. Okay, so he doesn't raise up, and so that gets back to Rivera.
Okay.
So. I call, and the under the gun checks his straddle. We are five-handed. There's $5 in the pot, and the flop is the queen of hearts, queen of diamonds, four of clubs, and a small blind checks to us.
Yeah, I mean, this is a situation where you're trying to play the people and not the stuff, but, I mean, you have people to act behind you, and there's a high card out there, two of them. You know, I don't think I'm betting this hand unless I'm positive that this guy under the gun plus one is so tight that he's going to fold and at the end of the gun was a straddler and this could have missed him. But the other thing, too, is that if you had a queen, would you really bet? So what hand is really betting here? A four? So you're confident in your four to bet in the two people who are in the hand behind you? And I just don't see myself betting here. So I'm just checking.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see how this pot plays out because this is not a flop that is anywhere exciting for me at all. So the fact that it's hand of the week means something is going to happen here that is not present right here on the flop. Because the first thing I thought of is what you said is if you have a queen here, you're absolutely not betting. There's no danger out there. I mean, it's a rainbow flop. No worry about straights. There's nothing to worry about if you have a queen here. You know, otherwise, you know, you might want to, if it was a more of a dangerous flop, you might want to be that guy that says, hey, I've got a queen, try and protect it and get people to fold, which could work. But in this scenario, that's not going to work. So the other thing too is if I have a queen anywhere in this hand, am I going to bet? No, I don't think so. Right.
All right.
So, I mean, no matter what the action goes here, I mean, I still don't think, you know, in the game of Clue, the queen is not going to be revealed, right? So it's going to be really interesting, I think. So, all right. There's not much to discuss here. Check seems to be the only option. That doesn't seem like it is the only option.
Yeah.
With 8 high on this board, I check and it checks around.
Wow.
So this is probably where we get in trouble, too. Or it gets interesting, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say we're getting in trouble. Why not? With $5 still the pot, the turn is the 8 of spades, giving us a pair on the board of queen of hearts, queen of diamonds, 4 of clubs, 8 of spades, and once again, the small blind checks.
Well, this is why it's hand of the week, because someone has a better 8 than us, or somebody has the queen and slow played it, because we all just said, why would you bet the queen and not get any more money? So I'm still going to be cautious with this. If I put out we would normally bet half the pot, I think, on the turn if we were playing this hand normally, but that'd be because the pot would have gotten bigger than the 5. So I still might bet 2/3 of the pot here, but if I'm being really cautious, I might just bet half. So maybe I bet 250, something like that, just to see if there's a queen out there, but there could be an ace 8, there could be a 9-8, there could be a 10-8, who knows? It's a blinds or, he was in a blind, was small blind around? I think he was, so.
Small blind still in hand, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, because he checked to us. There are all kinds of 8 combinations that beat us. There are all kinds of queen combinations that beat us. So while I think it's probably important to see where you are, and I remember Lee Childs hated when we said that, but in this case, put up something out there just to see if someone really has the queen. If somebody just calls, because even that spade now guarantees there's no flush, no flush, but there could still be a straight eventually. But to me, I would think, it's pretty safe to assume that if you bet and somebody calls, you probably beat. Unless somebody has 5-6.
Yeah, so I guess here's the strategy for betting is to flush that queen out and fold confidently, right? But that's like sacrificing your scalp, Mr. Tego. I don't really want to throw away a scalp, and nor do I want to throw away whatever money I'm going to put in here just to fold. So this is what makes it, as I said on the flop, what makes it so difficult is there's no incentive for anybody in this hand with a queen to bet. So if there was an incentive for somebody with a queen to bet, a straight draw or flush draw, like I mentioned, and a checked around, now you're more likely to succeed in making a bet here because you can feel a little bit more confident that that queen isn't out there. And now we have the added benefit of pairing our hand. But the fact that there was absolutely no reason for anybody with a queen to bet does not make me feel emboldened to bet here. At this point, I think I just need to check and hope I have some showdown value here if that river card is safe or there's a modest bet or something like that. But I don't want to be walking into the trap here. And somebody very easily has a trap set here for us, I think.
Agreed.
All right, here it says, I feel like I need to bet here for protection and to thin the field. As a note, since I would expect someone with a queen to check the flop on such a dry board, I would definitely fold to a raise. Okay, so that's the sacrifice to scalp strategy, right? So
yeah.
That's fine. If you're worried about getting sucked into a big bet on the river, that's fine. But, I think we can kind of figure out this. We don't have to be the hero that bets here, I guess is what I'm saying. Somebody else can bet behind us and raise, and then we'll get the same answer without putting our own money in. So that's another way of looking at it.
Yeah.
All right, I bet. The hero says, I bet $3.33 and get called by the under the gun and the under the gun plus one.
Oof.
It says, the two callers make me nervous, as either of them could be slow playing a queen. I'm not expecting to see an overpair to the eights, though, as I think those hands would have raised preflop. But they could also have hands like 5-6, 9-10, or jack-10. I definitely agree with your nervousness here. I'm shutting this hand down, I think. The river, maybe I'll call a modest bet just to see. But the fact that they're not raising, because, again, there's no reason to raise now if you have a queen, right?
Right.
If you got somebody betting into you, I guess if you have ace-queen, you're worried that it was a pretty cheap way to get into you in the straddle, so somebody could have queen 8 or queen 4, but that's, really, are you really too worried about that? So, there's no flush possible now, and the only straight possibilities don't make sense at all. So, nothing's really changed, I think, if you have a queen.
Now. Yeah, like he said, too, if somebody has jack 10 or 9-10, you know, they're kind of, but they're calling a huge bet. Cause that's a big bet for $5 in the pot at the turn. Yeah. That's a big bet. That's more than 2/3 of the pot. So if they're calling that, it doesn't seem like they're calling on a draw. You would want better odds than that to try to hit a gutter. So I feel like somebody has an eight, somebody has a queen, and we're probably third place. I'm shutting it down.
All right, the pot is now up to $15, and the river is the eight of hearts. Again, it's the final board. Queen of hearts, queen of diamonds, four of clubs, eight of spades, eight of hearts. And we are first to act.
Now, I don't want to say that I am clairvoyant, but in my mind, I knew an eight was coming. That doesn't mean it's a miracle. Don't call the Vatican. But I have to say that we still are losing this hand. If there's two eights out there, you know what I mean? That's pretty much impossible. So one of us is not with an eight in this hand, and that person probably has a queen. I just don't see the smaller side of the boat winning this hand. I knew an eight was coming. I just knew it. I'm going to check. And if it's like check, check, bet, then we're going to be scared. Because then we call, and then the other guy wakes up now, and then we've wasted money. Yep. If it goes check, bet, call, then I may call. But right. If it goes, you know, whatever, yep. Then I'm getting out of the sand.
Yeah. Here's the thing with this eight. This is akin to the clown in the sewer with the ice cream cone, right? It looks like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. But there's nothing about this that makes me happy.
Because it didn't improve your hand at all.
We're still behind, right?
Right. It didn't improve your hand at all. The only thing it did was it made you tie with somebody who had a better kicker with their eight.
I mean, it made our hand value bigger, but it doesn't mean that our hand got better. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind in poker. So, and I think people in the heat of the moment get tricked into this. So like, oh my God, I got a boat now. I'm great. Well, no, I mean, if you're up against a queen, they have a boat too, and they have a bigger boat. So. Yeah. This is really a tease of a card, I think, to come. So,
it did improve your hand in the sense that if somebody had 10-8 or ace-8 or whatever, that you tied them now. So it gave you a split rather than
catch up to somebody with it.
Other than that, it's worthless.
Here's on this double paired board. I can't find too many hands here that would call a value bet. Even a hand with a four has now been counterfeited. Also, if I bet and get raised, that is going to put me in a pretty crappy spot. I check. The under the gun bets $7.49. The under the gun plus one folds, and the action is back to us.
Well, this is the interesting thing, is this is what we were hoping for. If we believe that the person had an eight at some point, then you know we can make the call here and split whatever the money is that's left over from the other people who are in the hand. If it's were positive they had a queen, you'd have to replay the hand in your head and say, okay, would a queen have done this like on two streets? Would he have just called probably on the turn when we made our bet because he knows he's still kind of safe? And would he have raised with a random queen? No, preflop, because it'd have to be something like ace queen for him to have raised. So he probably had something like queen jack or queen 10 or whatever to call that raise. And so... yeah, this is scary. I mean, it's 7 to win 22, 3-1 on your money, and you have the ignorant end of the boat. So, I don't know. This is a tough call. I mean, it's tough. It's six-handed, and it's online, and we're getting it, you know, third-handed from beat someone. So, it's not like, you know, we're in the moment, we're playing and stuff. It's hard to just analyze it from cold numbers like this. But, I don't know. I might go for the call. But you know what, though? That person would have to be confident that the other person didn't have a queen acting behind him to make that bet with just an eight. So I'm going to fold. I think we lost. Because an eight, I think, there checks to the other guy. Yeah, and then
checks just like we do, right?
Yeah, yep. And if that guy checks behind, then he'll be like, oh, I missed an opportunity to bet with my eight. But I think we're going to fold. I can't believe it, but I think we're going to fold.
All right, so a little sleuthing we have to do here. I mean, from the beginning, I really thought somebody's sitting on a queen here, just the way it's played out. And really not much is changing my mind here. The only thing, if you're looking to be talked into a call here, the only thing I could do to talk you into call is that our lone opponent now was the straddler and didn't raise with a queen, if he has a queen, right?
Right.
And I don't see, I mean, Queen do something like that as a junk hand, so maybe they don't raise. But generally, I think if you're on this, if you're a straddler and you generally raise your straddle, any paint, you're going to feel more confident doing that, right? So if you're looking for me to talk you into a call, that's what I'm going to say, is that it seems less likely that a straddler would wrap the table with a queen in his hand. So therefore, that would eliminate the queen from the hand. So that would mean either be bluffing here, but it's a really weird bluff because we bet on the turn, right? So, and he called that, and now we check. So I guess maybe he's, I don't know,
trying to steal it because he can't win without betting.
Yeah. I mean, it is, I guess, weird that we bet and then check. So so maybe he's trying to steal it. So those are the two arguments for the call, is that he thinks we're weak now because we checked, or that he was in a straddle and no way could he have checked a straddle with a queen. But everything else, I think, is pointing to him sitting on a queen and us being really disgusted here.
I agree.
All right, here says, ugh, 3G speeches. I'm not sure if this is a call or not. I'm definitely turning my full house into a bluff catcher, as I can't see what kind of hand leads out of here with a queen in it, especially leading the two other players. The half-pot size bet here also just screams value bet. I tank for almost all my electronic time, and they begrudgingly make the call, hoping to chop the pot. Under the gun turns over the queen of spades, tray of spades, takes the pot, and we move on to the next hand, with me wishing I could fold in these spots.
Yeah, I think it was the player behind that was the key to this story. That if there was any chance that this player had an eight, I don't think he bets, because the other person stuck around and he would have believed that guy had a queen. The fact that he bet made me confident he had a queen. He didn't want to miss a street. He was hoping somebody had an eight, and he didn't want, you know, he didn't think, he knew for a fact that the guy behind him didn't have a queen, or that he wouldn't lose to a queen because it would be the same boat. So that was the key for me to fold there. And the queen of spades, three of spades makes sense, because he's not going to raise a straddler with just a horrible queen in his hand. It had to be something remotely strong. And so that made sense too. So sorry you called there, but that you know, that's the thing to electronic time. We've been talking about this hand for a good 10 minutes. You know, we had time to flesh it out online. That's the other thing. That's what makes it so hard, when that electronic time is ticking, 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 and it puts you to the pressure, and you're like, you don't want to make a mistake, and you don't have time to remember that it would make sense that the person behind is the reason that you have to fold. And so that's tough. That's a tough hand to fold, but I guess if you had more time, you might have arrived at that decision.
Well, but remember, back at the beginning, we could have saved ourselves a lot of money in this hand by not getting involved. So I think that's the bigger lesson here, is not I need to learn not to call in these spots, because, you know, there were some reasons to call here. The bigger thing is just not getting involved out of position with those weak hands. They get you into trouble when you pair them, right? That's never what you want to do with a weak hands pair. You want that straight or flush. And even then, it's a little dicey, right? But yeah. A single pair with a bad kicker on a board like this is a recipe for disaster.
Plus that bet on the turn I didn't like. That was a big bet. I don't care that it's only $5 in the pot as far as, like, monetarily what $5 means to your livelihood. But I'm saying, in the grand scheme of things, if you were treating this like a $25, $50 game, you bet $333 into a $500 pot on the turn with no betting up to that point. That's a pretty big bet to me.
Yeah, and can we talk about the other gun plus one here? Because I'm really confused what he was sitting on.
Yeah, I mean, unless he was convinced the eight was just like us and he had the case eight, or maybe he did have that draw that you were, or that he was thinking about stealing it on the end, you know, floating it to the river instead of the turn. You know, I don't know, but you're right.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He could have had the case eight, would have made sense, because he had to be worried about us raising, right?
Yeah.
Because we bet the turn. So he doesn't want to get whipsawed in the middle of that. So it's better to fold your eight out there than to call and then see a big raise and then have to fold after that. So yeah, okay. I guess an eight makes sense. Yeah.
And like I said, he could have had something like 9-9 or 5-5, where he just called the straddle, you know, 5-5 maybe, and he's thinking it's better than the four. Somebody tried to steal it on the turn. I don't believe him. But then another eight comes and somebody's betting into me. There's no way my 5-5 is good. I mean, there are all kinds of scenarios I can imagine for this guy calling.
Yeah, it could be very interesting. Now I kind of wish I knew. So
yeah, I know, me too. But all right, so next week we're at the halfway point. Jerry, that was a good hand too. He was surprised. He was saying he wasn't sure about his hand and stuff. But that's a good hand. That's a a lot of good lessons in that hand right there. I appreciate that hand.
It's Ted Williams now. He's batting 400.
I'm Chris Cosenza.
I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Ante Up is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@AnteUpMagazine.com. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@AnteUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.